Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
This program is sponsored by the Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. This is Alan Churchill speaking. Today begins an exciting new chapter in the history of these weekly broadcasts. While we continue to pray for our beloved Reverend Don Crisp during his convalescence, we now have a team of four pastors who will carry on the programs on a rotating basis. Today I have the first of these four dynamic young preachers here with me in the studio, the Reverend Brian Wilkie of Rockland United Church. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Alan.
Brian, would you tell us a bit about yourself?
Thanks, Alan. I live in Orleans, Ontario, with my wife, Erica. We've been married 26 years. We have four children and one precious grandchild. I began my formal theological studies at Asbury Seminary in Kentucky, and I completed my Master's of Divinity at Emmanuel College in the Toronto School of Theology. On May 31st, I'll be celebrating 20 years in ordained ministry, which has included service in Southern Ontario as a student and pastoral work in Newfoundland, on Ottawa, and now Rockland. I also served for a time with the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada in public policy work. I must add, Alan, that a highlight of this ministry has been the years I served with you at Dominion Chalmers, where I was able to focus on evangelism and leadership development during the exciting times of the Billy Graham Mission and our Heart of Ottawa Mission.
That's great. We're going to hear more from Brian in a few minutes, but first, let's listen to this recording of Ottawa's Capital City Chorus singing Sweet Hour of Prayer.
Yeah.
Brian, you have been a pastor for several years now. What do you feel is the most exciting aspect of your preaching?
I find the Scriptures, the Word of God, to be so exciting. It can be read and studied for a lifetime and still have the power to teach, transform, and encourage. When I consider how the strong challenges of modern culture seem to be shaking the confidence of Christians, I remember the saying that the Bible is an anvil that has worn out many hammers. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. I hope that excitement about Scripture comes through in my preaching.
I know that you're interested in missions. Would you tell us now a bit about the need for missions in the world today?
The need for missions never fades. God's people are still commanded to share the good news everywhere. Last year I was in Cambodia serving local Christians there as they reached out to their countrymen. What an eye-opening experience. While they were grateful for our support, I am sure that they were missionaries to us, teaching us about faithfulness, devotion, and the power of God. The greatest failure of the church has been to become complacent, apathetic towards a world that desperately needs to follow Jesus Christ.
Brian, you have an interest in youth. What are your concerns about young people, and how do you reach them with Scripture?
Our mission to children is a perpetual mission. They don't become Christian just by being born in a Christian home. Right now, youth need to see adults that are filled with the compassion of God, wise in the Word of God, and active in the service of God. Some youth are seeking anything worth committing to, and won't be satisfied by youth ministries that merely entertain them. The world always does entertainment better. Revival always starts with the converted people digging deeper. Youth need us to live out the Scriptures more energetically and passionately if they are ever going to take the Bible seriously.
Thank you very much, Brian. Now let's break in here and listen to Matt Redman's "Let Everything That Has Breath Praise the Lord." Brian, would you give us the message that God has laid upon your heart for this morning?
The scripture that has my attention today is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. Therefore God gave him the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I wanted my first message here on Good News to be about the incomparable glory of Jesus Christ. And incomparable is the right word, for his glory is not that of the heroes of this world, nor that of other gods named by humanity. Jesus is given the glory for a different reason than heroes, and from a different source than any other being. First, Jesus is given a name which is above all other names. He is given this name by God the Father. If we praise Jesus, it's a good thing. But the praise of God the Father is a greater thing. We glorify all sorts of things, celebrities who impress us for a moment and then are reviled for their weaknesses. We praise our favorite pizza or a particular brand of deodorant. But God gives his glory to his only begotten Son. God the Father is a better judge of what is praiseworthy than we are. The glory of Jesus Christ is that God the Father declares about him, "This is my Son, whom I love. I am well pleased with him. Listen to him." Because God exalts him above every other thing, every power, every throne, above angels, above Moses and all the other prophets, God has given Jesus an incomparable glory. Secondly, Jesus has been given this glory for a different reason than we give glory to others. According to Scripture, Jesus had the glory of equality with the Father, being in very nature God the Son, and yet he made himself nothing, becoming a servant, humbling himself to a life of service, obedient to the Father, even to the point of dying on the cross. Humanity craves power, independence, self-actualization, and we laud those among us who exhibit these qualities. We glorify the rich, the influential, the bigwigs. But Jesus is given glory for being a servant, for becoming nothing. History and the Bible itself records the exploits of men who take the world by storm, name themselves gods, and are exalted by others for their success at acquiring great riches, pleasures, and multitudes of servants, and a fabulous life for themselves. But God the Father exalts Jesus Christ for becoming a servant. To a lost humanity, Jesus offers the riches of grace, the joy of heaven, and he offers the gift of life for others. It has become commonplace for people to say that all religions are the same. They quote Shakespeare, "What is in a name? A rose by any other name would smell as sweet." Well, of course, when Juliet was saying that, she was hoping that the last name of Romeo wouldn't be an impediment to their relationship. But names are important. They can't be cast aside. How many insults have been understood by someone failing to pay attention to someone's name? There are stories abounding. I remember one friend who was called up and was called by the wrong name, and the person said, "Oh yeah, whatever," and that was a mortal sin in that relationship. God has a name. God in the Bible identifies himself as a particular person. He differentiates himself from the other gods. There were gods with many different names. There was Molech and Asherah, and there was Baal, and who the Hebrews like to call Baal-zebub, the Lord of the Flies. The God that revealed himself to Israel went by the name, to the best of our understanding, Yahweh. He named himself before Moses so that he could be known as a person who was reaching out to the people of Israel, and to be differentiated from the others. You know, if you ascribe to another person deeds which they never did, if that description brings dishonor on their name, they can sue you for slander or libel. If you identify somebody as having an attribute which they don't have, you may in fact put them to shame. Like telling everybody that a friend of yours is a great singer, and that poor person having to be put on the spot and show that they aren't in fact what you describe them to be. God has a name, and that name is more than just a collection of syllables. It's not just a sound. The name of Jesus is his identity as the only begotten Son. He's given a record of who he is in the life he's lived, in the giving and sacrifice that characterized his every breath. His name is his reputation that comes from his deeds of compassion and grace. And you can't separate his deeds from that name. You can't take that name and attribute other deeds which are not his to them. God made it very clear in the Ten Commandments, don't use my name vainly. Don't use it in vain. Which means don't say that God said this when he didn't say that. Don't say that Yahweh did this when Yahweh did nothing of the kind. Don't try to pretend that Yahweh permits these actions when Yahweh in fact has forbidden them. It's all connected to his name. The name of Jesus is the story of the cross and resurrection. It can't be replaced by any other name. The name of Jesus is the name of enduring love and gracious salvation. Calling an idea or creature or a person God doesn't make it the same as Jesus. None other is eternally God, co-equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. None other has made himself nothing, forsaking the glory of heaven to invite a lost world to heaven. None other has been perfectly obedient in the holiness of God, a perfect servant to his Father and to humanity. None other has given his own life for the salvation of the world. There is no other name with the same glory. None whom God the Father has glorified with this name above every name. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds, our hymns sing, Jesus, name above all names. Our hymns seek to express our joy in Jesus, but they also echo the Father's commendation. And Paul, in describing the glory of Jesus, declares, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Have you ever wondered what truly pleases God? Look to Jesus, whom God has glorified. It may seem impossible to become like Jesus, to turn from the pursuit of human glory, sin, and selfishness. But good news! The very thing for which Jesus was glorified is his work for your salvation, his readiness to receive ruined sinners and restore them to his glory. Are you ready to let him do this work in you? Are you ready to ask Jesus to give you new life?
Thanks so much, Brian. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your mercy. You call us to faith. You call us to obedience. You give us all that we need to be sound disciples. Christ is alive. We can overcome in him. Thank you, Father. Amen. Don't forget to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and lived out with integrity and compassion and resolve. Now, to conclude our program, here is a fine hymn, Fairest Lord Jesus, performed by an a cappella group called GLAD. Now may you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. And may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love.
makes the woeful heart to sing.
There is the sunshine, there is still the moonlight, and all the twinkling starry world. Jesus shines brighter, Jesus shines purer than all the angels ever was.
If I never sit beside the crystal sea, if I never see the mansion prepared to be my final home, I wanna see Jesus, 'cause he died. Of pearl or the walls of purest white, if I don't shave beneath the tree of life, when I'm permitted to enter, I'm gonna bow at the Savior's feet. I wanna see Jesus.
News in the Morning is produced in the studio.